Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Happy Throwback Thursday, everybody.
Happy Thursday, everybody. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday, Kevin.
Hey, Rob. Happy Thursday.
Oh, my God. You're actually in my apartment.
We are looking at each other. We're sitting on the couch, on the yellow couch.
I hear music when I look at you. That's Jerome Kern, right?
Yeah, it sounded like I'm Jerome Kern. You know, I must say, I prefer sitting with you face-to-face with these things.
Really?
Listeners, we often do them on Skype because we'll be away or, Rob's in California half the year. And
why are you making me sound like an old retired person?
Rob's in Palm Springs half the year.
I gotta play shuffleboard. It's time for the shuffling.
Oh, Canasta's at 4 o'clock. I'm
Is
so
it really?
Excited.
Oh, you're joking. I got so nervous for a second.
You know, there's a...
I don't want to miss Canasta.
There's a bridge club where we've recorded Shetler Studios on 54th Street.
Oh, I know.
And if you get up on the wrong floor, you walk down the hallway, because you get in the elevator and you're like, what's going on? Why are there's an old person casting going down here? No. That's bridge club.
Didn't I tell you about the time the woman knocked me out of the way on the elevator to get to bridge club?
She's going to be late. Because it's a four-hander, and if you miss, it's a partner game.
Oh,
so
this
you better
woman.
Not, don't mess around.
So we record at Shetler Studios. It's like... Shetler's on three floors.
They like own the whole thing now, I feel like.
But all these other floors are like, there's like doctor's offices and stuff like that. And one time I was waiting for, I got on the elevator and this old woman like knocked me out of the way to get on the elevator. Meanwhile, I'm the only one there. So I'm like,
right.
We're all going
like,
to fit.
You're fine.
We're all fitting
Don't
in
worry.
This elevator.
But maybe she thought the door's going to close. She got nervous.
She goes, oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. And immediately I thought, I know there's a doctor's office here.
Yeah.
So obviously she's going through something.
A stroke.
I said, I'm so sorry. Are you doing? No, she didn't have a stroke. Like someone's dying on the fifth floor and she has to like go and say goodbye to him. And she's
Urgent.
I hired somebody to teach me how to play bridge and he's waiting for me. And I'm so nervous. I feel so bad that I'm keeping him waiting for so long. I need to learn how to play bridge. And the doors open and she flew away. And I was like, if all my acting students, when I'm like, when I tell them, like, you have to make everything life
Those
or death stakes,
yeah.
and they're like, I don't understand them, I'm like, you should have watched Sadie, Married Lady, trying to learn how to play Canasta.
That's raising
because
the stakes.
Because that's really raising
that's really
the stakes.
Raising them.
And she also raised her bid.
No,
she
nice.
Raised her stakes and she raised her bid.
That's
it was
great.
A happy day of Canasta for everybody. As soon as I learn how to play backgammon, that's when I think I'm ready to leave this earth.
Oh, I enjoy backgammon, I must say.
Do you know how to play
it?
Yeah,
we just started playing, actually, Sutton and I.
Really?
Not just, like, a year ago. Yeah,
I don't know how to play backgammon.
Yeah, it's fun. I used to play it when I was a kid,
what,
too.
It's just people, like, rolling things and they kind of look like Oreos.
Yeah, that's basically it, actually. That's
How do you play backgammon? I really don't know.
You have to set up the board a certain way with a certain number of little those little discs on each, little pieces on each one, and your goal is to get all of yours home, and you have to, there's like an order, and you can...
Was this invented during the Depression?
I'm not going to explain it right now. This is like the most boring conversation
ever.
This feels
like a game that was invented in the Depression.
Probably, or before that.
And everybody was like,
this is a Victorian thing or something.
Oh, Victorian?
I bet.
They couldn't have sex, so they decided to play backgammon.
Yeah, obvi, yeah.
Yeah.
So, listeners, hi. Welcome back to Behind the Curtain, Broadway's Living Legends.
What was it Queen Elizabeth used to say? No, it wasn't Queen Elizabeth.
I don't know.
It was what British mothers used to say to their British daughters when they on their wedding night. They were like, just lie back and think of England.
No way.
Yeah, because sex was supposed to be dirty and horrible.
Oh, God.
And the only reason you're doing it is procreating so there'd be more citizens of the United Kingdom.
Oh,
so the advice that mothers used to give to their daughters was just lie back and think of England.
Take that, Handmaid's Tale. How's your week? How you doing?
It was good. It's been a good week. Lots of good things. We just did a wonderful show at the club called Our Table.
Yes.
That was music by David Shire.
The great David Shire, previous guest.
Previous guest and directed by Richard Maltby Jr.
Another great
Multiple
director.
Previous guests.
Yeah.
He's been with us
many
times.
Many times.
He's getting jealous that Leroy is having so much time. Now, Richard was fine. We had a good time yesterday. It was a good time.
It was like sold out.
We sold out really fast.
That's wonderful.
I think it's really nice to be presenting new works.
Of course.
I think it's always nice to have new things coming
in. Oh,
I agree.
Yeah.
I hate to say this because we're such old Broadway history fans.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually kind of excited that this season we only have two revivals.
Isn't that
means
wild?
There's new works.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Do you remember the years when it was like, all revivals,
oh, yes,
and then
of course.
Maybe you had a new musical thrown in
but
there.
It does ebb and flow, doesn't it, from year to year? And there's
it
really
can
no
ebbs and flows.
There's no rhyme or reason, though. It's not like new shows are cultivated, and you know, but revivals are just like who's got the money, who owns the property, or you know, has bought
the
rights for it or whatever.
Exactly.
It. But yeah, you're right. Wait, it's Kiss Me, Kate, and
Oklahoma.
Oh, the duh. Hello,
the Oklahoma that transfers.
That's pretty exciting.
In from St. Anne's Warehouse.
Yeah, that was one on my top 10 list.
Where
yeah.
they make chili for. You apparently
well. I love chili.
And do you really?
I do. I just made it the other day. Just two days ago.
Whoa! Where was my invitation?
Come to Queens.
Come on over to my house. Who sings that?
I don't know.
Is that Doris Day? No, it's not. It's Rosemary Clooney.
Oh, nice.
Or someone else is probably yelling at me like, it's not Rosemary Clooney. It's Margaret Whiting.
You don't know anything, Rob.
You don't know nothing.
Oh, and sad news we just learned today.
I don't want to talk about it.
Great Kay Ballard has left us. And, you know, so often we hear about these legends that pass and we didn't get to talk to them, but this is one that we did get to, well, you got to talk to. And you were at her house. There's a great picture of you holding her hand, and it's just so sweet, Rob.
Kay Ballard was so sweet. I was back in L.A. She agreed to an interview. It had to be in person. Totally fine.
Great.
So she lived in Palm Springs, California, which was about a 2.5-hour drive.
Oh, my.
And so I was on the phone getting directions, and she goes, you know, you get off this exit, and then you make a left here, and then you make a right on Kay Ballard Street.
Shut up.
And I was like, I said, no, but what's your street called? And she goes, Kay Ballard. They named the street.
They literally named the street after her.
Kay Ballard.
That's so Palm Springs.
And her house was a living landmark. The city of Palm Springs, because she lived there, decreed a living landmark.
Aww.
And so as you went to the house, there was a plaque.
Oh, my goodness.
She was so wonderful and so nice and so sweet and so funny and still with it.
Oh, yeah.
The hearing, you know, was iffy.
Sure.
But mentally, everything
right there.
Was there.
Oh, my gosh.
She had great stories. And so we encourage all of you, you know, go back and listen to our interview with her because it was really a fabulous interview and she was great.
You did a really good job. Yeah.
One of the things, please, she's like...
She's one of those, yeah, go. Yeah.
No, Kevin and I sometimes have, you know, like any interview, there's some people where it's a lot of...
Different kinds of interviews. There's different kinds of...
A lot of pulling teeth.
Yeah.
And then there's some where you ask one question and then they just go...
Off to the races.
And it's almost like we can leave the room.
Right. We look at each other sometimes and are like, oh, okay, this is great.
We're fine.
We have to focus it a little bit sometimes, but...
Most of the time.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's the ones where you're like, can anything?
Yeah, just
something?
Like, did you do this show? Yeah. How was it? Fine.
Okay, Pat Birch. She was great.
Until we talked about Grease 2. And then she was there.
She was off on Grease 2.
Oh,
and then,
yeah. So
and
was
she,
I.
She was good. Her best story. Oh, I can't tell it, though. Her best story, folks, is when we went off the air.
Yeah.
All I'm going to say about this, I'm going to give you a hint of what this story was. She was choreographing the First Wives Club, the movie. Remember the movie, guys, with Diane Keaton and Bette
Midler? There's like that little sequence
Goldie Hawn.
Yeah.
at some point in the movie, I think it's like the end of the movie, correct me, my First Wives Club fans, is the three of them like dancing down the street at the end of the movie, the three actresses. It's like 12 o'clock at night. Let's just say that Miss Hahn did not remember a step, and Miss Midler was pretty flawless.
Of course.
And was not happy about this and decided to retire to her dressing room until Miss Hahn had learned the steps. This is all allegedly
from
Miss Birch.
Allegedly.
And Miss Birch was the one who had to go in and tell Miss Midler to come out of her dressing room and continue shooting. Maybe one day we'll tell that story.
Kind of just did.
But, oh, it gets better because it involves Pat Birch yelling and screaming at the top of her lungs. I knew you!
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
When you were in a bathhouse.
Yes.
So anyway.
Oh my God, I love it.
So we won't tell that story. Once again, this is all a legend.
But Kay
Ballard, back to Kay Ballard.
Wow.
I'm so sorry.
I did it, Mom, though. I got it back. I got us back on track. That's good.
Does your mom tell you that we go off track?
Yeah. Sometimes.
Does your mom give us notes?
She hates that we're like talking about it right now.
Why?
Because I don't know.
We'll take notes.
Hi, Mom.
So your mom gives us notes. That's fine. No,
but she's like, sometimes I worry that you're not going to get back again. But we will joke about that within my family as well, because as you know, I often do that sometimes.
My dad only says to me about the podcast, he goes, when are you going to interview Sammy Kahn? I'm like, Dad, Sammy Kahn's been dead for 40 years.
Dead.
My dad likes to play this joke. I don't know what it is. We'll be driving and he'll be like, he has this idea. I don't know where it comes from, that he wants to do a bit where Sammy Kahn writes songs that predicts the future.
So random and esoteric.
So like Sammy Kahn in like 1947 is writing a song called like, I'll send you an email. And everyone's like, Sammy, what's email? And Sammy's just like, you'll see. I don't know. I don't know what my father is talking about.
All right,
about
well, workshop
time,
that. Get Mel Miller to do it. It'll be great. Kay Ballard, truly.
Musicals tonight.
Go listen to, you know, the Carnival. I love Carnival. Her on Carnival.
Go listen to her in Carnival.
Go listen to her.
The Follies.
Oh my gosh!
Not the Follies, but the Paper Mill Follies.
Right,
not like the
Follies.
1919 Follies.
No, but yeah, that Paper Mill Follies was amazing.
In addition to that, go online. There's a bunch of great stuff of her clips from her on YouTube performing in lots of different things. She was on a television series for 3 years called The Mothers-in-Law, which is really funny, and she sings on that like every episode. But it also shows you what a funny comic talent she was.
Gosh.
She was special.
And Full Monty. She did Full Monty for a little bit.
She did Full Monty.
Yeah.
I would say the closest thing we have to Kay Ballard today is a Beth Level.
Yes. Yeah.
I think if you love Beth Level, then I think you're really going to love Kay Ballard.
True comedian.
True
who can really
comedian.
Sing like Beth. Beth can. I mean, everyone always talks about how funny she is, but she can. Her pipes are insane.
But Kay Ballard was the same way.
Yeah.
Absolutely the same way.
Yeah.
And when I went to interview her, the sweetest, most generous person. And I was telling this to Kevin before we went on the air. When I met with her, she was telling me that somebody had approached her about making a documentary about her life. And she was waiting for the documentary to be released. And last week, the documentary was finally shown in Palm Springs in her hometown. And she said, after it was shown to everybody and got very good reviews, by the way, she said, this makes me so happy the documentary is finally seen. I can die happy now.
Oh my gosh.
And she passed. And then she passed. She was a pioneer, I think, in terms of comedy, especially when it comes to females in comedy.
Most definitely.
We always think, oh, Lucille Ball. We go, Lucille Ball, Carol Burnett. She's in there, folks.
Oh, yeah.
She's really, really in there. And she also did some weird musicals. Molly, which was the Molly Goldberg. Remember that one?
Gosh, yes.
What was the one? Help us out, folks. I think it was called Royal Flush. Which was it closed out of town, but it was like she was like a queen trapped in the bathroom.
Royal Flush.
Yeah,
I
in the
1600s. Wow. I'm surprised that didn't make it. I can't believe
I'm surprised. What's the Hamilton?
Is that the elevator pitch? Wow.
Kay Ballard gets caught in the bathroom.
But you get it? Royal
get
Flush?
It?
Okay.
I think she would have done... she might have done it at some point. Minnie's Boys. I think she would have been great at Minnie's Boys. She would have been a great Mama Rose.
Yeah.
So go YouTube her... Kay Ballard.
Raise a glass.
She was a great guest. I hate when we lose a guest.
I know.
I hate when we lose a guest. I just hate it.
I know. It's weird. We've been doing this for 3 years. 3 years now, Rob.
3 years?
Yeah. But so it's bound to, I mean, it's, you know,
we've
time ticks on.
Sadly, we've lost four. We lost Georgia Serving. Rick McKay,
oh, God,
Charlotte Ray,
yeah,
and now Kay.
Yeah.
That's it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Knock wood for us.
Boy.
God bless them. God bless them all.
God, we got those stories.
Yes, so thank you. So raise a glass to Kay Ballard.
Yeah, that's right.
And go watch an episode of The Mothers-in-Law.
Indeed.
Because that's what I'll be doing tonight, I'm sure. Hey, let me ask you a question.
Yeah, what's up?
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Rob.
Can you explain, if you can?
Uh-oh.
No, don't say uh-oh. What are you doing?
Look, I have a feeling I know what you're going to ask me, but go ahead.
Can you explain why equity is... Okay, Kevin's looking this up. You don't have to look it up,
well,
Kevin.
I don't have all the right facts, to be perfectly
or
honest.
Or you know what?
I'm more music director now than actor.
I know you are.
So
then let me present it this way, maybe to our listeners, because our listeners might be able to help us out. There is an issue going around right now that Actors Equity says, hashtag not a lab rat. And it sounds like there's two things going on. One, that on a lab contract, the actors are asking for a raise in pay, which they have not had for 10 years, I believe. I believe that's point one.
Right. These are the developmental labs that we're talking
labs.
Specifically where, you know, I just did one last year, actually, as with my actor hat on, and it was 2 weeks. We were doing a Walking on the Moon, which was done at ACT, the one in San Francisco, the one in the West Coast.
ACT.
Yeah. And it was a two-week thing. We got paid very, you know, for a lab, well, you know, because that's the rules. And then all the work that we did, I wasn't guaranteed. I, first of all, it's about the Jewish people in the Catskills, and well, hello. And so it was just to do the lab. I was hired as an actor to participate in this lab, to be a voice, to be a sight reader, to be a guinea pig. The choreographer tried out dance moves with us. We partnered a little bit to see they're using us as bodies, basically. And then some actors will invest in really, like Book of Mormon, those actors helped create what was going on. Those original actors got a piece of the show when the show was then taken to Broadway.
So if I understand correctly, so there's two points going on here. One is saying that they want a raise in pay because the raise has not... There hasn't been an increase in pay in about 10 years or so.
Yes, the minimum salary for these developmental labs.
Okay.
That's right.
So that's point one. And then point two is it profit sharing? Points?
They're fighting to get so that the actors will get due credit for the work that they do in these developmental labs. So and when the show moves on, that if it goes to Broadway, that the equity is fighting to get profit sharing for the people who take part in these labs.
So a question for you, or for our listeners as well, because I'm a little bit unclear.
Mean Girls did it just recently, and they got praised for that.
So let's say that I'm in a developmental lab for Working Girl the musical.
Okay.
Okay. I'm in the lab.
Yeah.
And then for whatever reason, I do not go on with the show from the lab to the Broadway production.
Right.
I will still receive compensation?
I think so.
So let me ask you this. I hate to ask this. Let's say that I'm in the lab and I don't want to say contribute anything, but I sing the notes as written and I say the dialogue as written. And I don't give any input, and I don't ad lib anything, and I don't.
That was me in the lab. I did.
I'm
I didn't
pretty
do
much
anything.
Doing what's
that's right.
what's on the page, yeah. And I'm not contributing anything else, artistically, imaginatively, or creatively beyond what's on the page. Am I still going to get points, or is there somebody in the room that's like, Kevin spoke more than Rob, so Rob's not going to get anything, but Kevin's going to get anything?
I don't think...
These are honest questions. I really don't know how this
like
works.
That. I think that the point is going to be that if you're in the lab, then... I honestly don't know if you move on with the show or if you don't move on with the show if you get that work, but I would think if you worked in the lab, then you are a part of it. But I don't know the difference. I mean, I don't know if...
Our listeners know?
Yeah.
This is an actual conversation. So then my next question for you,
because
then,
if you don't do anything, then really should you be getting a profit share if you really are just you're hired to be an actor, but you're not hired to be creative? Some of those labs are very involved. You know, the writers are taking inspiration from the
yes.
actors. I mean, and if we could take the most extreme example, it would be A Chorus Line, of course, because
the whole show was written about.
Literally, they were the actors. They maybe changed the names to, you know, protect the innocent, but those stories were literally from the chorus people that Michael Bennett had wine with that one night when they recorded all of it.
Yes.
So they should certainly be compensated for that. That would be a very extreme example. But if you're just reading, if it's someone who's very precise on their work and it's kind of done, although then why would you be having a developmental lab? Because the whole point is that you're trying out stuff. But I hear the question that you're raising, and I do think it's a little muddy. I don't think that's a very clear answer.
So, and this is only affecting producers in the Broadway League. So these are only Broadway commercial producers. So, for example, if I'm a producer and I'm not in the Broadway League, I can still continue on with readings and workshops.
I believe so. I was just working, and I will try to not use any names, but a colleague was going to work on the Michael Jackson show, and that they were going to do a lab, but now it has to be postponed. And this person was very bummed because there was work that they were planning on
having.
Was
this an actor that was going to be in it?
No.
No, okay, great. Yeah. Well, I know, for example, that Chasing Rainbows, which is the Judy Garland musical, is still having its lab and workshop because it's not a producer associated with the Broadway League.
Gotcha.
So then,
who is not really budging. I mean, this
is. So can
like,
I ask you this?
Yeah.
I don't want to plant any ideas in anyone's heads, but what would be the? Let's say I'm a producer in the Broadway League.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't I say, fine, you don't want to try out Working Girl the musical with Broadway actors? Great, I'm going to go to the University of Michigan, or I'm going to go to Pace University, and I'm going to work with their college students and not lose any money.
Well,
and figure out what works and what doesn't.
People have done that in the past. You know, I mean, like Little Women was done at Duke. You know, and there, I mean, there is definitely that is a route that people have started to tap into is going to universities. Now, a lot of regional theaters, and I'm going to talk about this later today, but the regional theaters have tapped into that market as well for, you know, developing shows and using college talent because college students are just so freaking talented now.
Well, we started that at Penn State in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And it still goes on today.
Yeah.
It still goes on today, but we started that in 2006 of bringing people in to develop musicals.
And I think it all depends on where the show is and its gestation period.
Yeah.
You know, is it ready for... Because sometimes when you work with students, that's great, it's awesome, but sometimes you get to a point where you think, okay, all right, now we need to have the right people for the right age play the right parts.
Exactly.
And the right, you know, seasoned actors who have, you know, been a little veterans and maybe, you know how to dig a little bit deeper into the material. Not to say that college students don't, but
no,
it's
but I,
varying
I was,
degrees
I,
sometimes.
I was just speaking to a colleague, a very high-profile colleague, who took their show to a college.
Yeah.
And I said, how did it go? And he said, not really. He goes, we didn't really learn anything because I had to spend most of the time teaching them how to act.
Exactly.
And and that's fine.
Yeah.
So I get that. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm interested to hear what other people's
opinions
are.
And I definitely think that actors should be paid for that work, you know, a raise in that fee that they get for that developmental level.
I agree 110% that a raise should come into place. What I need more clarification on is how does this point sharing work? So if anyone out there knows and is willing to share either on Twitter or Facebook, let us know exactly how that's planning on working because I'm really interested to see how this develops.
Yeah.
Because we're going to be at a standstill, it seems like.
Well,
then I heard that if you're an EMC candidate, which is an equity membership candidacy, you need 25 points to join the union. It used to be 50.
I feel like when I was a kid,
yeah, they dropped it to 25.
Wow. And by the way, the muggles, that when you're an equity membership candidate, that means that you're a non-equity actor, meaning you're not in the union, but the union you have sort of started your association with the union.
It's like an apprenticeship.
And if you are in a union show, meaning that there is equity contracts within the show, it's usually at a regional theater. It's not on Broadway because everyone on Broadway has to be in the union, mostly, except if it's a regional theater on Broadway. But they, by being in that show, each week that you're in that show, it counts as a membership week. So by the time you accrue 25 weeks, which could be a summer stock or a season at a regional theater, you get your equity card.
Yeah. So for example, if you're doing 8 weeks at a summer stock that offers EMC points, you'll leave with 8 points.
That's right.
And then when you hit 25, it's up to you whether or not you want to join the union.
Indeed.
You're not required to.
You do not have
but
to.
But you have the points whenever you're available.
That's right.
That's also very controversial
for
many reasons.
And now we've had an influx, because of that, we've had an influx of young actors who are in equity. And if you go to any open call, like an equity course call, or if you even just, now you sign up online, and if you don't sign up within the first 3 minutes, all the slots are gone because there's so
many
people. It's just these, especially like these summer stock gigs. I mean, if you go to Marigold Playhouse, go to Audition Update, which is what tells you how busy it is each audition. It's some people get there at 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning.
It's nuts.
Insane.
People start that unofficial list at 3 o'clock in the morning for all that stuff.
Yeah, no, it's gotten very busy.
But did you hear what Equity told the EMC candidates?
No, I don't.
Equity told the people that are not union but have EMC points that you are not allowed to take a contract with the Broadway League for a reading or developmental workshop. And if they find out that you did, they're going to bar you from, or they're going to prohibit you from joining the union when you have all 25 points.
That's tough. That's really, that's...
I have some very, I am union proud.
Mm-hmm. Same.
I'm a proud Same. Member of SDC, the mm-hmm. Directors Union. I have some very strong feelings about all of this right now.
Because they're not paying any, they're not paying any dues. They're getting no benefits of other than that they're a part of a professional show and they have the potential to be in the union. But they're not getting any union benefits other than they get to sit in the equity lounge when they go up to equity.
Yeah, so folks, if you know anything about the second, I understand the pay raise. That sure. makes sense to me. I'm very confused about the second part.
And I will do my research and go on, you know, it's my union. I mean, I'm embarrassed that I'm literally talking about this right now and I don't know all of the facts.
But I don't think anybody knows all of the facts.
Well, it's interesting because I have, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would like to know more about it.
Okay.
I would like to know more about
it. We'll get back to you, listeners. And
or you come to
you
us.
Care.
Yeah. Oh, and then also, and one more thing really quickly.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. One of our great listeners, Ray Kampf, who is a Love brilliant Ray. Graphic designer
yeah.
and does such great work. He had said to me, because I just met him out in Los Angeles, he yeah. had said, you know, he said, I'm sometimes not confused, he said, but I'm curious. You know, sometimes you and I, Kevin and I, mm-hmm. will discuss things, and he's like, I'm not really sure what that means.
Mm.
Like to say like, oh, it was part of the regional theater.
And we're like,
or what's the difference between a regional theater and a summer stock?
Well, I'll say LORT. And it's like, what the heck
what's
is
a LORT theater?
You know, so, regional theaters.
And he said, you guys should do a podcast or an episode every once in a while where you go through and you explain what all this terminology
That's
means.
Cool.
So if anyone is interested in that, let us know. Or if you're like, nope. We got
we
it.
Can we, slide it in.
We don't need anything
God
else.
God knows we get off track and we can slide it in somehow in our normal conversations.
Absolutely.
Too. And I'll do a better job of giving context to things whenever we do talk about like 29-hour reading. What the heck is that? You know, that kind of stuff.
But you know what everybody can look at now, though, in the meantime,
What's
while
that?
They're waiting for us to decide? Hey, Kevin, did you see that article from the New York Times about the young actress who had moved to New York?
Uh-huh.
Did you see this? So, folks, this is, I want to be very clear, this is not my favorite thing by any means whatsoever, but I think for a good laugh, you should all head over to the New York Times, because the New York Times decided to publish an article that makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. The article is called Making Her New York Debut Off Broadway.
I got halfway through it and I honestly was like,
it is by an author name or a writer named Joyce Cohen. Joyce, I would love to talk to you. It says, for her first home in the city, an aspiring actress finds that the theater district is a better place to work than to live. This is about a student named Melissa Miller, who has just graduated from Muhlenberg College in Allentown, Pennsylvania,
My
to pursue
place.
An acting, really?
Yeah.
An acting and voiceover career. I would like you all to look up this article about Melissa Miller, where she explains what she is looking for in an apartment. She has some requirements.
Running water.
She says, well,
toilet.
I want, she goes, I wanted to live alone.
Okay.
She goes, I had too many bad roommate experiences with people I thought I knew. That's okay. But when you come to New York, most people have a roommate.
Everyone
but I
has
totally
like
understand,
a two
Melissa.
Bedroom in like Washington Heights.
And it says for her new home, her requirements included a doorman, a laundry room, and not too many stairs. Hey, just so you're aware, I'm 36 years old and I still live on a fifth floor walk up. Hey, guess what? I know people who are in their 60s that won a Tony Award that are also living with roommates on a fifth floor walk-up. So I would love for you all to take a look at this. Oh, by the way, in mid-fall with a rental budget of $2,000 a month.
What the heck is she doing?
Melissa, $2,000 a month. God bless you. God bless you. She wasn't happy with anything she saw, but here's my favorite part of all of this, ladies and gentlemen. She found an apartment she liked. For $2,300.
Ooh, a little over budget.
By the way,
that's more than my rent, and I'm in a two-bedroom in Astoria.
What? I have no shame in this. I pay $1,630 a month.
Oh, nice.
And even that.
Yeah.
I am 36 years old. I have 900 jobs. I pay $1,636 a month. Somehow at 22, she's got $2,300 to spend. So I love it. So she shows her family, and her dad says that the neighborhood she's in is not good. This is what dad says. If you can buy pizza for a dollar, you're not in the right neighborhood. They're targeting tourists. So I'd like you all to read this article. I'm going to be honest with you. I read this article, Kevin, and I'm like, this is The Onion.
Yeah.
Like, well, this is from The Onion.
Sounds like the lady was, like, taking the piss out of it. I mean, like, the writer was taking the piss, but no, it was very serious the way
I don't know. Listen, it was treated very seriously. So I would like you all to read this article, and then I'm going to say, allegedly, I know people who went to the school with her and have some interesting comments about her and her involvement with the school and her lack of involvement with the school. Okay. So this is all allegedly, and okay. you can all take a look at it and do your own research.
There it is.
But if you want a good laugh, I am sorry. If they sell a dollar slice of pizza, yeah. I'm all worked up.
That pizza's good too.
A dollar slice of pizza is the best pizza you can buy.
All right, okay. Just calm him down right now. All right, favorite things.
I have no favorite things.
Is that your favorite thing right there?
No, I have another right. favorite.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Thing. What's your, do you have a favorite thing?
I do, actually. It's going to be very obvious, but, and this is the first time we've ever actually done this, I believe, but I'm just going to go there. As many of you know, I was at Goodspeed up in East Haddam, Connecticut.
Yes, you were.
And I would like to, my favorite thing is Goodspeed Musicals, the theatrical company, the not-for-profit theatrical company that was started in 1968. And
amazing.
Because what they do, I was kind of rocked. I always had heard of Goodspeed, and Goodspeed has kind of like the home where it's like the home where musical theaters are born or something like that. And it's if you ever see the opera house that it's in, which was never an opera house, actually, it was for plays built in like the 1870s. And it's this gorgeous, gorgeous white castle like building on the, you know, on the banks of the Connecticut River. It's so picturesque when you go there. And it's this little tiny little village, East Haddam, and they basically own the whole town. And it's now they've got all this housing and you just walk everywhere. But what they do there and the passion that all of the employees have, they have like 80 people work for the company full all year round. And they have all been there like decades. It's not like some theaters, you know, someone comes in, the company manager for a year, and then goes to the next theater. And now, granted, it is kind of like the Rolls Royce of regional theaters, but they stay there for years and years and years and work their way up. And you know, the stage manager is now the executive producer, and I was amazed by the passion of the people there. But it's also what they do. Now, granted, you all know, or maybe you do, that this is where a lot of shows started at Goodspeed and then transferred to Broadway, like Annie, Man of La Mancha, Shenandoah. There's many, 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 many more. I think they had something like 21 shows come to Broadway. Now, Annie definitely made them the most amount of money, and like they are where they are today because of these kinds of shows making them money, which helps.
Oh, a bunch of those. Weren't those like the Very Good Eddies and like Five O'Clock
no,
Girl?
And they definitely like, because originally they wanted to cultivate shows that had sort of been lost and to revitalize them, like Very Good Eddie or even like A Tree Grows in Brooklyn they did a couple years or 10 years ago. And then now they cultivate new shows as well. They have two theaters. They have the Norma Terrace Theater, which is sort of their sort of sister theater, which they do the new works there. But I was really blown away by their programs that they have. So I was there as part of their New Works Festival, which is just a 2-week long intensive for three shows are done performed like on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Each one, there's a reading of each, and then the 2 weeks prior, you know, where they are working on. I mentioned this the 2 weeks ago when we were talking, and they use college students from University of Hartford that stay on, you know, I call it campus because it does feel like camp, but that stay in the town, and we work together and we rewrite at night and then show up the next day and add stuff and fix it. And so it culminates with this festival where they also have panels. They had cabarets at night of people from New York that came in. Shayna Taub was supposed to do it, but then she got sick, so she had to cancel. But I was really excited to see her perform. So the New Works is one thing that they do. Then they also have this Johnny Mercer Writers Colony, which is the first of its kind in the country, solely dedicated to developing new musicals. So writers go up they have like a 4-week span of doing this where you go up and literally you just write. You just get to write all day long, and it's a safe place to write and cultivate new shows. And if you look at their list on their website, they've been doing it for years. all the names you recognize. Like everybody who's ever written a Broadway show, it seems like they've been in this writer colony, and they pay for it. You know, they get grants to because I said to one of the people that worked there, I said, how do you can afford this? And they said, well, we get monies and we, you know, donors and all of that, but they write grants and they get all this money from, you know, corporations and stuff like that. Then they also have this library, the Share Library of Musical Theater, which is
the
like
Share Library?
Yeah, Share. Sharer.
I thought you meant like Share.
Oh, Share. Fucking turn back to home. No, the
Share. Whole library.
And I went into it, and it was, Rob, it was magical. Yeah. It was absolutely magical because they have every LP cast album ever. It's the biggest of its kind for musical theater research in the country, they say, on their website. They have every libretto from every Rare show. They have archival videos of every single Goodspeed show that's ever been done. They have periodicals. Every single thing you can think of is in this research library. I know. And you know what really sucks is that my rehearsal's from 10 until 6, and the library was only open from 10 until 6 every day. So I would, like, run on my lunch break for, like, half an hour just to go for ruse, because it was just, if you're ever up in the Connecticut area, I cannot highly recommend, and it's open to the public. You just can go in.
Can we just like go in one day?
And yes, Rob, and it's only 2 hours away from New York City. And unlike the Lincoln Center Library, where like they're like, you have to check it out and then they are like looking at you and you have to wear white gloves or what, you just can take what you want. All the stacks are open and you grab it. They encourage you to just leave it on the table. They'll put it back for you and you just get to, you just, yeah.
This appeals to heaven. Both my apathy.
Oh.
And my interests.
It's amazing. And so, yeah, I'm just like completely rocked by all of it. So all of that is under the umbrella of Goodspeed Musicals. Not to mention they do, you know, a season of amazing shows. Like they're going to do Billy Elliot, Music Man, and then a new show. So a lot of times the works from the new works will eventually get done at Goodspeed or elsewhere. Come From Away was part of the new work series 5 years ago.
Well, Sue Frost.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. How cool is that? Sue Frost was an executive there and worked her way up at Goodspeed as well. And now how beautiful that the show that was cultivated there is her production that became such a success. So I always knew that they were wonderful, but to actually go there and experience it and witness it firsthand and see the passion that they all have, I tip my hat to them because they're doing great work and it trickles down to everywhere in the business, I think.
My hat to you, sir.
Yeah. So check it out. And you can actually look up their research library. You can actually go online. They have the whole database online. So
really?
I know. I didn't know that until I was doing research for this.
I hate to put you on the spot. Do you know the website to it? Like,
It's on the Goodspeed. You just go on the Goodspeed website. It's like goodspeed.org, I think.
That sounds
just
right.
Google it, y'all. And then on the right-hand side, it'll be like Share Library of Catalog. And amazing. You click on it, and I like, you know, I was looking up Foxy because, you know, hello. So it was all there. They had the libretto. They had everything. So,
we're working on Foxy.
Yeah, hear that, John?
That yet?
Yeah, so...
April 4th.
Yeah, there you go. You heard it here, folks. April 4th, we're doing an in concert of that rarely heard chestnut. It's Foxy.
It's the Johnny Mercer.
That's right.
It's a Johnny Mercer.
Speaking of
show.
Johnny Mercer, yeah.
That's actually, how appropriate is that?
Yeah.
Is that right, April 4th? No?
Rob's looking it up right now.
No.
John's probably yelling at us right
John,
now.
John Moss. Actually, this is all John's idea. John is our wonderful. No, it's April 9th.
Sorry, he's John. Yelling at us this whole time. He was like, no!
John
April
is 9th, screaming.
April 9th.
Yes.
April 9th.
Very quickly.
We have a lot of concerts, guys.
John Moss, who's one of our wonderful listeners and used to work for David Merrick and has amazing stories that I so wish he would come on the podcast and share. But he's dutiful. He's loyal to keeping the secrets.
Yes.
I appreciate that. Came to us with this idea of doing Johnny Mercer's musical Foxy. Which, if you remember, is the Burt Lahr, Larry Blyden musical from the 1960s. What are you laughing at?
If you remember. Like,
if you're,
All
seven of you. So anyway, though, we're very excited. We're going to be doing it at 54 in concert.
It's a fun score. It's a charming score.
It's a really charming score. And what John has done, and I think it's done it really brilliantly, has put a lot of songs from the Mercer catalog that we've not heard before. Mm-hmm. He's integrated them into the show. So it's not going to be just the score. There was no cast recording of Foxy ever made, original cast recording.
Yes, yes.
There was one from, I think, Musicals Tonight where it sounds, there's a recording.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, our cast is pretty epic. Richard Kind's going to be in it, Chip Zion, David Garrison, Clay Elder.
Oh.
It's a pretty good group so far of folks that are coming out to retell this story. So please join us on April 9th. which is a Tuesday at 7 o'clock to hear the score of Foxy,
yeah.
Which has
I'll be music directing, Rob's directing,
Kevin's it. Music directing, I'm directing. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Be fun.
So come out and join us for that.
Yeah.
But Foxy is not my favorite thing this
week. Okay, what is your favorite thing?
Well,
Roberto?
Kevin, I'm going to be honest with you. My favorite thing this week was inspired by watching a television series, surprise, surprise, and the person who stars in the series had an amazing musical theater career.
Oh.
And I think it's time that we honor her and celebrate her.
Ooh, I'm excited.
On our podcast. We've talked about this performer before. She is, she was, unfortunately, she passed, I think, way too young, a brilliant performer. And it's Nell Carter.
Oh, Nell Carter.
The great, wonderful.
Were you watching like 227 or something?
No,
or
she wasn't on 227.
I don't know.
She was on Gimme a Break.
That's what it was.
Another NBC sitcom, and that's fine. Gimme a Break is a wonderful television show. Somebody uploaded
I can't believe
the entire
the network. Wait, you kill me.
Came on
you
Tuesdays were at 9:30.
I cannot believe you were just like, no, another NBC.
I yes. love it. So anyway, folks, Nell Carter to me, I've been watching the show that she was on in the 80s called Gimme a Break, which is where she played like the nanny to
yeah.
a household, right?
Yeah.
But she sings in every episode.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Her voice is incredible. And I think she's just as funny as Lucille Ball when it comes to television comedy. You watch some of these episodes. They're all free, everybody, so jump in. One, she's going to sing in every episode.
Gimme a Break.
Gimme a Break. Yep. She's going to sing in every episode. Thank God for that.
Yeah.
But there's also, I was so excited yesterday, Kevin, there was an episode where she like won a trip to New York. And
yes.
they, it's a little, okay, it's a little 80s and awkward, but they have her singing on Broadway. As she's walking down, like,
they say the neon
lights are bright on Broadway. On Broadway. Horribly dubbed, real bad lip syncing going on. But they show all the marquees of all the shows running.
I love when you see marquees, like, in his, you know.
And so you're like, and what show did they go to see that night?
What?
Tap Dance Kid.
Oh, of course.
Tap Dance Kid.
Oh, Alfonso Rivera.
Yeah. Oh,
Sandy
yeah.
Glover.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. It's a good, anyway, it's a good episode.
Oh.
But her vocal talent is so incredible to me. And if you're unfamiliar with her, please go onto YouTube, type in Nell, N-E-L-L, Carter, C-A-R-T-E-R. Her big thing that she's probably known for more than anything is Ain't Misbehavin'.
Yeah, but there's more than that. I mean,
but there's more than that. And first of all, thank God Ain't Misbehavin' was recorded.
I mean,
in
yes.
its entirety for people to
Truth.
Watch because it's absolutely brilliant.
That's on YouTube too.
Also on YouTube. But there's also some great stuff of Nell Carter like singing on Liza Minnelli special.
Oh.
Have her doing Friend Like Me from the Academy Awards in 1992 from Aladdin. And Ooh. Unfortunately, she died young of diabetes. But the and she one of the things I really applaud about her is she had a very strong substance abuse problem, but never hid it. Was very open about her substance abuse issues and about how hard it was to rebuild her life the many, many times that she fell off the wagon and how she got back on and how she got herself back into rehab and how she got herself back into recovery. So I really applaud her honesty. I really applaud her vulnerability. And I think you can see that in all of her performances. You can watch the 1978 Tony Awards where they sing from Ain't Misbehavin' and you can see how funny and sassy she is. And then you can watch my favorite Broadway, The Leading Ladies, and watch her sing Mean to Me. And
I forgot
yeah,
she was
on
that. I used to love
And
that.
Break Your Heart. There was also the big controversy when she was in the revival of Annie.
Miss Hannigan.
She was Miss Hannigan.
That's right.
But
yeah.
when they did the commercial, they kept, for the revival, they kept showing footage of Marsha Lewis as Miss Hannigan.
Oops.
And she was like, maybe they just don't want people to know that there's a black Miss Hannigan.
Okay.
Maybe they don't want people to know that there's a black Nell Carter. And the producers turned around and said, oh, it's just too expensive to reshoot a commercial. You're on Broadway.
Okay.
You're on Broadway.
No.
You're you can't afford to reshoot
no.
a commercial?
With your leading lady.
With Nell?
Can you imagine?
Carter?
Yeah, you're going to star in this, but listen, here's the deal. We're just going to keep the old person. No, that doesn't happen.
That makes no sense to me. So I'm very curious. If anybody here worked on that production-wise, let me know why you thought it wasn't right to like put Nell Carter in the commercial.
We've interviewed people, Rob, that worked on that.
Martin Charnin.
Oh, yeah.
I want an answer.
I was like, wait, who do we? Oh, right.
Martin Charnin.
The writer and director. Yeah. Duh.
We've had them all on. So anyway, there's a lot of great stuff about her. You can watch her in Andy Gibbs sing Up Where We Belong.
Mm.
But then also, like I said, watch a couple of episodes of Give me a break, because like I said, she's probably going to be singing in one of the episodes. The New York episode is pretty great because you get to see her, like, you know, live her best life. She was also on a bunch of Tony Awards broadcasts, so you can get watch her do that.
Awesome.
And she's so funny presenting awards. Like, when in 1986, she's presenting the award for best costume, and she says the only way she's going to read the winner is if the winner agrees to make her a dress.
That's funny.
So, and she's funny. She was sassy. She was great. But like I said, she was lost to us way too soon.
Yeah.
When she passed, she was doing a production of Raisin. They were in rehearsals to do Raisin out in Long Beach, and she was going to play Mama, and then I'm sure she would have been great. And I think of all the other great roles that she probably would have done had she lived long enough. Oh, my God.
Imagine
her as Mama Rose. Imagine her as Motormouth Maybelle and Hairspray.
Yep.
There's 90 million things she could have done.
Wow.
And I think, like, she also could have done stuff like Nice Work If You Can Get It, like the Judy Kay role in that.
Oh, yeah.
She would have been so funny in that. Actually,
yes.
Out of the box casting, Drowsy Chaperone. Her is the Drowsy Chaperone.
Oh, my gosh.
Would have been fun.
That would have been hysterical.
So anyway, I think it's good to honor her. It's so nice to, like, look back on the amazing career that she's had. Watch that montage. Maybe we'll post it so you can see her. Lip syncing ain't the best.
That's
but you get to see all these amazing marquees for shows. There's a Doonesbury marquee.
Oh, wow.
There's a Tap Dance Kid marquee. And it's just her walking up and down the street singing. She's so funny. She's so funny. And the Joey Lawrence is on it. Little young Joey Lawrence.
Oh, wow.
And his brother Matthew Lawrence.
Oh, my gosh.
And Rosie O'Donnell. Apparently they didn't get along.
Yeah, okay.
Rosie O'Donnell and Nell Carter did not get along. She would have been a funny Miss Lynch.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just have 90 million roles I wanted to see her play. Anything else I'm trying to think of that she could be in?
Know.
She could have done anything. Put her in a cast and she's Dear Evan Hansen. Waving through a window.
Oh, a good one.
Her voice has that
it's
nasal.
Got that pingy little.
Yeah,
like,
a little pingy. Yeah. No, that's not good. That's not good.
I don't know what that was.
That was a rat being punched to death. That's what that was. I'm so sorry. I will never attempt to, like, try to get the nasal pinginess of her voice ever again. I am so sorry that our listeners had to hear that.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
I'm sorry. Yeah. The rat that I just crushed was a lab rat.
It was.
Hashtag.
Oh, good one.
See?
Full circle.
We're coming.
You're
full
welcome.
Full circle, folks.
See, you think we don't have this plan
full
sometimes.
Full circle.
But we don't.
How dare your mom say we go off track? Our objective was to list our favorite things. We have completed our objective.
And so much more.
We are, you know what? We have we are multitasking.
That's right.
Hey, did anyone like my Walter Matthau impression?
When?
From last week.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't hear anybody talk
about
it.
Yeah, people texted me and said it was really,
really
good. Yeah.
I do enjoy your Walter Matthau,
so,
actually.
You. I just wanted to brag a little bit.
No, you did.
I'm going to work on more impressions. Is there anybody I should be working on? Is there anyone that wouldn't annoy you?
No.
You're lying to me. You're lying. Just because you're wearing a cute sweater today, you think you can get away with lying? He's wearing this beautiful powder blue sweater with a blue and black checkered dress shirt underneath
it. Yeah, I call it my Rob Schneider uniform because Rob always wears like a really nice button-up shirt with like a nice, like, nice sweater over a V-neck sweater. You always do. It's
my
uniform. Yeah, so when I put this on it, I thought, I'm going to see Rob. I got to wear the uniform.
And you know what's so funny? When I wear flannel, I think of you.
Aw.
Yeah.
I like that.
Is there anyone I should work on, though? Is there anyone that would not annoy you?
No, I joke. I love them all, mostly. I don't know.
I just did a dry
listeners,
take to
nobody. How about we ask listeners? Listeners.
Oh, okay.
Who should Rob learn?
Listeners, is there anybody that
you're
you would
dying
like
to hear?
Because
we've really covered the big hits like Sergio Franchi, you know, that guy from Tattoo.
We hit the ones
you know,
the kids like.
Really, the ones that everybody knows, especially the young people. So, you know.
The young people love like, a Sergio Franchi.
Yeah.
Oh, when Nell Carter's walking down the street.
Yeah.
She goes by the 9 marquee, and it says Sergio Franchi in 9.
It. That's awesome.
In 9. So if you guys know anybody else that you think I can work on, please let me know. I'm trying to
expand.
Get there.
Expand. It's great.
I really want to surprise Kevin. I don't want it to always be like the same, oh, here comes this one, here comes that one.
Yeah.
I want to just spice it up a little bit. Unfortunately, I'm not really an actor, so my ability is limited. My range is limited.
Yeah.
I'm not versatile.
Yeah.
I'm not like the Meryl Streep of acting.
Okay. We'll see.
I'm like Tom Streep.
You're like
from the Pepper Pot Playhouse. Hey, also, folks, don't forget, this week you have favorite things, but next week you don't have favorite
things.
That's
right. We're not going to see you for 2 weeks. Well, we'll talk to you, but not favorite things. It's our
set is still
wet.
Yes, good. You know the title.
Yeah,
good.
I do. Yeah.
The set is still wet, and that's where we're going to sit down. We're going to talk to people about their experiences before they hit it big in this business that we call
show.
When
we took it even more seriously when we were doing it, when we were in community theater and in summer stock, how we took it very seriously.
Our first guest next week, just so you're all ready for, her name is Becky Spiegelman. Becky was the one who inspired the idea for this whole podcast. And Becky is going to tell us about her children's theater experiences.
She's got some great
And you have to admit,
stories.
Those are pretty like
no, they're
jaw-dropping
nuts.
Stories.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And if you don't believe Becky, she has videos of all of them. And I've seen them.
We have to post clips.
Kevin, you wouldn't believe
we
it.
We have to post clips.
All right. So we'll see you all right. Next week for our new thing, The Set's Still Wet. And if there's anyone you think we should interview for that, let us know.
Yeah, hit us up.
It doesn't have to be legends anymore. It doesn't have to be people who've been in the business for a long time. We'll take
blood.
Anybody.
Right.
Anybody. If you got anybody who works, I'll go to the Cosmic Diner and ask the waiters. Yes, I did production.
By now, you're regular, yeah.
They love me at Cosmic.
Of course
they do. I've never felt so seen in my life. I go in, hello, how are you?
It's like on 8th, everyone at New Yorkers, it's on 8th Avenue and like, what, 52nd?
52nd.
Yeah. And it's just your nice, normal little
it's
diner.
It's a 24-hour diner. They know me. They treat me like royalty.
No, you are, Rob. You are.
I know I'm going to have that fall from grace like 30 years from now when like nobody knows who I'm. And I'm like, can I get my table? And they're like, no, somebody already has it.
Your picture's taken down. It's
yeah,
no
just
longer
like,
up there.
Like one tier.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll tell you a sad story really quickly. I'll tell you a sad story really quickly. I once went to Broadway diner? Do you know what Broadway diner is? It looks like an old like 50s diner.
Okay.
They put plaques of people, like the name of like famous people that have been there.
Yeah.
And I once went with someone and he was like, oh, come look at my plaque. Come look at my plaque. They took his plaque.
He was
down.
Gone.
Yeah.
Oh.
I was like, oh.
It's like Sardis when they rearrange the pictures.
Where's my photo, Joe? I don't know, Mr. Schneider. You don't know, Joe? You used to be hanging here on the column next to Dorothy Kilgallen. It was me, Dorothy Kilgallen, and Doug Henning.
Doug Henning.
Did Doug make me disappear? See, we tie that in because it's
good
the
job.
Magic show.
Yeah, no, I see.
Merlin. I loved Merlin.
So there were shows on Broadway. There
it's about magic.
Oh, my God.
Sorry. It's about wonder. It's about take your breath away. And then they would only let him go, don't you love a surprise? They wouldn't even let the guy sing.
It was like a musical. I put air quotes because really it was just an excuse to have him do his magic because that's all the people were coming for. But, oof, Lord.
Tigers and lions. What was the thing where they had that snowstorm and they had to cancel because none of the animals could get
that's
to
right.
the theater?
That's right.
That's a really sad story.
All right.
That's a sad story. Poor Doug Henning.
Well, he did okay.
He did. Hey, he had a big career.
Yeah.
The magic show ran forever.
Yeah.
I love to see, you know what?
And the album's really cool because it has like this little, I'm really nerding out now, but they give you like a little magic trick in the album, the LP.
What?
Yeah, there's like a little, help me out, listeners, but there's like a thing, because I have it, and there's like a little thing, fold-out thing, and you can some scope type of thing, and it was, yeah.
Really? There's a magic trick
I
in the album
so,
cover?
Yeah, or some sort of added fun thing that
That's
related to
so
the show.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
You know who we should get on the podcast? Dale Souls. She sings West End Avenue.
Oh, right.
She's on Orange is the New Black now.
Oh, cool.
But she did a lot of Broadway shows.
Nice.
What is your favorite song from The Magic Show? Mine is not West
I
End
to
Avenue.
Be a lion, tame it.
Oh, no. Really?
Hats. I just think it's a silly, weird song.
Style.
Oh.
I love style.
Nice.
We got style, flair, je ne sais quoi. No, okay, that's just fine.
Nice.
Sung by David Ogden Stiers. I told you who he was before. Yes, you might know him from MASH, but he's also the voice of
Beauty and the Beast.
Yes, TikTok, TikTok.
Yes, the clock. Yeah.
Cogsworth.
Yeah, Cogsworth.
The clock. Can I tell you my biggest regret in life?
What, Rob?
Is that when I used to act, I really wanted to be Lumiere in Beauty and the Beast, and I know that all anybody would cast me as
is
Cogsworth.
I know. That's the tough thing about
I'm
type
a Lumiere
sometimes.
In a Cogsworth body.
And on that note...
I'm going to go cry now.
We'll leave you.
See y'all soon.
Have a great week.
Bye.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. These are a few of my
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.